कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे। सो व्हाट यस्टरडे वी डिस्कस इज बोथ बाय राइजिंग एंड सेटिंग द सन डिक्रीज द ड्यूरेशन ऑफ लाइफ ऑफ एवरी वन एक्सेप्ट वन। यू यूटिलाइज द टाइम बाय डिस्कसिंग टॉपिक ऑफ ऑल गुड पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड इन। सो लाइफ स्पैन इज डिक्रीजिंग डे बाय डे, बट दोज हु आर एंगेज इन हियरिंग कृष्ण कथा देयर लाइफ इज यूजफुल, अदरवाइज देयर द रेस्ट ऑफ द पीपल दे आर वेस्टिंग देयर टाइम। सो क्षण इट्स वर्ड इज क्षण इन संस्कृत। आयु हरति वै पुंसाम उदयन असत अयम यन असौ तस्य रते अस्त क्षणो नीत क्षणो यत क्षण। क्षण इज अ वेरी स्मॉल पोर्शन ऑफ टाइम। सो नाउ द क्वेश्चन मे बी रेज, वेल द लाइफ कैन बी वेरी लॉन्ग, सो वी कैन एंजॉय नाउ एंड लेटर वी कैन वेल प्रैक्टिस समथिंग, अवर ह्यूमन लाइफ इज टू स्मॉल। So then they are saying this thing, tarvah kim na jivanti bhastrah kim na swasanti uta na khadanti na mehanti kim grame pashvo apare. Well, living without Krishna katha, then that life is like a long life of a tree. Tarva means tree. Taro rapi saishanona. So do the tree not live? Okay, they are living maybe for a long time, but they are not breathing. Wow, okay. Bastra kim na swasanti uta. The bellows of the blacksmith are also breathing. But there's a... otherwise life is useless. Or, but they are... the bellows are eating, are mating. Na khadanti na medanti kim gram pashvo. Kya, all around us, do the beasts do not eat and mate? But the word apare is most important. Apare, Srila Prabhupada writes, others. So, Chakravarti Pad writes, person whose life is not stolen away does not receive rebirth in this world, because they will go back to heart and God. Do not the trees live also? They live for a long time. They live much longer than humans, but they do not breathe. Does not bellow breath? Oh, bellow breath, but more strongly than humans. But bellows do not eat. Do not the animals eat and mate? They can eat more than the human. Apare indicate animal in human form. So this is most important line. Animal in human form. It means people have got the human form, but their activities are like animal. If they are not interested in hearing Krishna katha, then they are not better than animals. Materialistic man of a modern age will argue that the life or part of it is never meant for discussion of theosophical or theological arguments, which means something beyond the bodily concerns. Life is meant for a maximum duration of existence for eating, drinking, sexual intercourse, making merry and enjoying life. The modern man wants to live forever by advancement of material science. And there are many foolish theories for prolonging life for maximum duration. But Srimad Bhagavatam affirmed that the life is not meant for so-called economical development or advancement of material science. For hedonistic philosophy of eating, marrying, drinking and merrymaking. life is solely meant for tapasya, which means austerity. And why we do tapasya? Tapo devyam putraka. My dear son, do the austerity. Why? Sattvam shuddhyate. Purify your existence. The human life is meant for, when Srila Prabhupada is writing this, which verse is coming in Prabhupada's thought?
551.
Well, this is the teaching of Rishabh Dev.
Yeah, 551.
Naya Bhajo Dehe Bhajan. Naya Dehe Bhajan, Vid Bhajan. This is the verse. So then, the purpose is Tapo Devyam Putraka, for purifying one's existence. Sattvam Shuddhyate. So that one may enter into the eternal life after the end of the human form of life. Ananta, Anantam Sukham, Ananta Sukham, Brahma Ananta Sukham. That verse is like that. So there is a comparison of the modern man's thought and the thought coming from scripture. And there is a difference. When the creation started, Brahma only heard the word tapasya. It means for the human beings there is a tapasya. By that we will purify our existence, but by sense enjoyment we degrade ourselves. Materials want to prolong life as much as possible because they have no information of the next life. They want to get maximum comfort in this present life because they think conclusively that there is no life after death. So as much we can enjoy, we enjoy. We don't know what... after this there is sunyavad, there is zero. Voidism. Or nirvisheshva, there is no variety. This ignorance about the eternity of the living being and changing of the covering in the material world has played havoc in the structure of modern human society. This ignorance about eternity of the living being, of the soul, and change of covering in the material world. Change of the covering in the material world means the material bodies. Has played havoc in the structure of modern human society. Havoc in the structure of modern human society. Consequently, there are many problems multiplied by various plans of modernized men. The plans for solving the problem of society have only aggravated the troubles covering the material world. Change of covering in the material world. Even if it is possible to prolong life more than 100 years, advancement of human civilization does not necessarily follow. It does not mean that if we live long, then we will be civilized human beings. Still, we will act like animals. The Bhagavatam says that certain trees live for 100,000 of years. Prabhupada writes, at Vrindavan there is a tamarind tree called Imli, and there is a place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down and its color changes to the Shyam Varna. That is called Imli Tala, which is said to have existed since the time of Krishna. In the Calcutta Botanical Garden, there is a banyan tree said to be older than 500 years. And there are many such trees all over the world. But now Prabhupada is comparing. Swami Shankaracharya lived only 32 years. Lord Chaitanya lived 48 years. Does it mean that the prolonged life of the above-mentioned trees are more important than of those Sankara and Chaitanya? Prolonged life without its spiritual value is not very important. One may doubt that the trees have life because they do not breathe. But modern scientists like Bose, which is in Bengal, have already proved that there is a life in plant. So breathing is no sign of actual life. The Bhagavatam says that the bellows of the blacksmith breathe very soundly. But that does not mean that the bellows has life. The materialist will argue that life in the tree and life in the man cannot be compared because the tree cannot enjoy life by eating palatable dishes or by enjoying sex. In reply to this, Bhagavatam asks whether other animals like dogs and hogs living in the same village, Gram Paswa, Gram means village, with the human beings do not eat and enjoy sex life. The specific utterance of Srimad Bhagavatam in regard to other animals, apare, means that persons who are simply engaged in planning a better type of animal life consisting of eating, breathing and mating are also animal in the shape of human beings. A society of such polished animals cannot benefit suffering humanity. For an animal can easily harm another animal but rarely do good. So what is the message in this? The Sanaka and the 88,000, these celibate rishis, they are eager to utilize their time in hearing Krishna Katha. They are feeling a waste of moment of the human life is the greatest loss. And somebody is wasting a moment of the life, then his life is not better than an animal. Now the question is raised. Well, this all scientists and all philosophers and all these big politicians, they are praised by so many people. Then Bhagavatam gives the answer. Shava, Veda, Vara, Ushtraha, Kharahi, these are the four animals. Shwa is a dog. Veda, say, Veda Varaha, a village hog, who eat a stool. Ushtra is a camel, and Khara is a ash. So those who are praising such people who are wasting time without hearing Krishna Katha, they are only praised by these four type of people. Shwa, Vidvaraha, Ushtra, Kharahi. Sanstutihi, Purusha, Pashuhu. They only pray the people who are like animals. Na yat karana patho peto jatu nam graha gadag. Gada agraja. But, why they are doing this? Because they never heard with their ears the great glories of Gada Agraja is the name of Krishna, which means the deliverer from all evils. Gada means evils or sin or something like that. And Gada is one of the brother of Krishna. So Gada Agraja means elder brother of Gada. Both meanings are there. But here the meaning is deliverer from evil. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camel and ashes, praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastime of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from the evils. This human animal whose ear has never heard about Krishna is praised by hogs, dogs, hogs, camel and donkeys. Their animalistic life is so to be condemned. Those who don't hear Krishna Katha. They are glorified profusely by dogs, pigs, camel and donkey. He as one person accepts the qualities of us four. This is animals are saying that person who is praising such fools is accepting all of four our qualities. One has one quality, but that useless people have all four qualities. Whereas we are all incapable of taking up another animal's quality. We cannot take the quality of the camel, the donkey cannot take the camel, or camel cannot take the quality of pig, but the human, but he being a human can take up so many qualities of animals. And we being animals cannot take up even one quality of another animal. Overstepping his scripture, ardent by dharma, human being. He accepts our qualities with passion. We have our fixed in our qualities by destiny, because this is our bhog yuni. We only destined to do this. he is aware of the hell into which he is, he will go. He will be born by following our qualities. Whereas we are dull-witted and cannot understand anything of the future. In this way, animals praise him in four ways. Dog's qualities to become angry without reason. So these people become angry without reason. Pig qualities to eat impure items. So they eat any nonsense. The quality of the camel is carrying heavy burden. And the quality of donkey is to get kicked by its mate. Krishna has never gone in that person's ear. Gadagraj means he who appears in front of sickness, Gada, as its enemy. Thus he will appear and destroy the sickness of anger and other bad qualities of the animalistic man. Srila Prabhupada writes, general mass of people, unless they are trained systematically by higher standard of life and spiritual values, are not better than animals. And in this verse, they have particularly been put on the level of dogs, hogs, camels and asses. Modern university education practically prepares one to acquire a doggish mentality. Now Prabhupada is describing dog. With which to accept the service of a greater master. All modern education is to get employment, which means to serve the master. Vedic civilization was not actually meant for employment. But this was the ruination of the Vedic civilization and Vedic educational system during the British time. And they only instituted the education by what the graduate wants to beg for the service. Krishna was 4 years old. He started the profession of his father, was herding the calf and then cows. This was a tradition. Every family, they just study something and then continue their own family profession, and in this way the paramparas were continued. But now everybody want to do service, and nowadays the service is like this. The corporate world, I heard somebody saying, they pay you double salary. Salary of two men, they pay to the one man. They get the work of three. Pay double salary and get the work of three and make you full-time fool. So, after finishing the so-called education, the so-called educated person moved like a dog from door to door with the application for some service. And mostly they are driven away in form of no vacancy. As dogs are negligible animals and serve the master faithfully for a bit of bread, a man serve a master faithfully without sufficient rewards. If somebody is doing service in some company is getting 1 lakh rupees, so company must be earning by his work at least more than 2 lakh rupees. So his value is 2 lakh and he's getting 1 lakh actually. Why otherwise company pay him? So our talents are exploited. This is the doggish mentality. Now, persons who have no, this is now Prabhupada is describing hog. The person who have no discrimination in the matter of foodstuff and who eat all sort of rubbish are compared to the hogs. Hogs are very much attached to the eating stool. So a stool is a kind of foodstuff for a particular type of animal. And even stones are eatable for a particular type of animal or a bird. But the human being is not meant for eating everything and anything. He is meant to eat grains, vegetable food, milk, sugar, etc. Animal food is not meant for human being. For chewing solid food, the human beings have the particular type of teeth meant for cutting fruits and vegetables. Human being is endowed with 2 canine teeth as concession for person who will eat animal food at all, at any cost. It is known to everyone that one man's food is another man's poison. Human beings are expected to accept the remnants of the food offered to Lord Krishna and The Lord accepts foodstuff from categories of the leaves, flower, fruit, etc. Patram pushpam palam toyam. As prescribed by the Vedic scripture. No animal food is offered to the Lord. Therefore, a human being is meant to eat a particular type of food. He should not imitate the animal to derive so-called vitamin values. Therefore, a person who has no discrimination in regard of eating is compared to the hog. The camel is a kind of animal that takes pleasure in eating thorns. Person who wants to enjoy family life or worldly life of so-called enjoyment is compared to the camel. Materialistic life is full of thorns. And so one should live only for the prescribed method of Vedic regulations. Just to make the best use of bad bargain. We discuss sometime what is the bad bargain means. Yes, Prabhus, what does bad bargain mean?
Body.
Yes, somebody said something. What bad bargain is?
Accepting the body.
Yeah, this material body is a bad bargain.
Achieving higher purpose using lower material.
Say again.
Achieving higher purpose using a lower material, which is through material body achieving spiritual purpose. Yes.
So, in the form of Nara, we can approach Narayan. In a human form, we can approach Krishna. But we are utilizing it for animalistic propensities. So there is a bad bargain. Somehow we got this body. Now we should use it for good purpose. This is a miserable. The body gives only little pleasure and more pain. Life in material world is maintained by sucking one's own blood. This is what camel is doing, this Prabhupada is using the sex of using sex as sucking one's own blood. The camel, the central point of attraction for material enjoyment, is like, okay. The camel also sucks its own blood while chewing the thorny twigs. And the thorns the camel eats cut the tongue of the camel, and so blood begins to flow within the camel's mouth. Thorns mixed with the fresh blood create a test for the foolish camel. And so he enjoys the thorn eating business with false pleasure. Similarly, the great business magnates, industrialists, who work very hard to earn money by different ways and questionable means, eat the thorny result of their actions, mixed with their own blood. Therefore, the Bhagavatam has situated these diseased fellows along with camels. And lastly, the ass. The ass is an animal who is celebrated as the greatest fool. Even amongst the animals, the ass works very hard and carries burden of the maximum weight without making profit for itself. The ass is generally engaged in the washerman whose social position is not very respectable. And the special qualification of ass is that it is very much accustomed to being kicked by the opposite sex. When the ass begs for... she is kicked. Okay. A hunchbacked man is compared, therefore, to an ass. Then general mass of people work very hard, especially in the age of Kali. In this age, the human being is actually engaged in the work of an ass, carrying heavy burden and driving thela. Thela, Prabhupada says, thela means a hand cart and rickshaws. The so-called advancement of the human civilization has engaged a human being in work of an ass. The laborers in great factories and workshops are also engaged in such burdensome work. And after working hard during the day, the poor laborer has to be again kicked by their fair sex. Not only for sex, but also for so many household affairs. So, Srimad Bhagavatam's categorization of common men without any spiritual enlightenment into the society of dogs, hogs, camels and ashes is not at all an exaggeration. The leaders of such ignorant mass of people may feel very proud of being adored by such a number of dogs and hogs, but that's not very flattering. The Bhagavatam openly declared that although a person may be great leader of such dogs and hogs, disguised as a man, if he has no taste for being enlightened in the science of Krishna, such a leader is also an animal and nothing more. He may be designated as powerful, strong animal or a big animal, but in the estimation of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is never given a place in the category of man on account of his atheistic temperament. Or, in other words, such godless leaders of the dogs and hawks like men are bigger animals with qualities of animal in a greater proportion. So we can discuss this.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, we can discuss this.
This is a very wonderful purport sloka translation too. I love it very much. Thanks for Srila Prabhupada for giving such a wonderful purport. This is what actually happens. We have been trained right from our school days, college days, to become a dog. And not only we work very hard, we also flatter a lot. We flatter our teachers, college teachers. We do, don't only they will give practical, viva marks are there. There are so many marks, internal marks are there. And also, not only we have to do all these things with the person, but even the education we have, the quality of education also, aroha-panta and avaroha-panta, earlier we have discussed, it's an ascending process, what the material science is all about. So, again, there is a competition. Competition in the sense, one scientist will find one other thing, and another scientist will try to say that this is wrong and what he says is right. So it's so complex network, untold network.
Well, very competitive and cutthroat technology, and everybody simply wants to be bigger servant.
Yes.
Of the. Actually, material senses.
Material.
What actually is in this purport is the animals have more qualities. The deer's eyes are better than our eyes. Lion is more powerful than us. You know, if you compare. The flying eagle, I said, the eagles fly so high, human cannot fly, birds can fly. So if we really see the animal have good qualities because of their karma, but they cannot take others' qualities. But we have only one thing superior to the animals. And then that one thing is only develop consciousness. If that is not used for higher purpose, then our life is worse than animal. Only difference between the animal and the human being is developed consciousness. Animal cannot do karma. But we have a right to change our karma. Animal cannot change. And... all animals' bad qualities one man can have. He is like a dog, go for service. He is like a ash taking a burden. He is like a camel eating his own blood. And he is like a hog eating all nonsense. It is said when human was made, God said, okay, you live for 20 years. No. It's like... say, starting with dog, I think, dog, ash, a donkey, and then bull. So when bull was created, Brahma said, you live for 50 years, and no, it's too much. People will whole day make me to till the field, or I have to pull the cart, make less. Okay, 25, all right. Then, Doug, you live 20 years. No, not too much. Everybody will kick me and beat me. Make less. 10 is okay. Okay, 10. And then, monkey. Okay, monkey, you live 25 years. No, not too much. Give me less, 15. All right. When human's turn came, Brahma said, 20 is good for you. He said, no, I need more. He said, well, it is only for you. He said, then whatever is left of the dog, give me that. Whatever is left of the monkey, give me that. Whatever left of the bull, give me that. Brahma said, all right, you take all this. So what we are doing is, first 20 years of our life, we are living as a human being. Then we are put on the life of a bull, pulling the whole family burden for next 25 years. And then we become old, and then we are given the life of a monkey to simply make a fun for the children, our grandchildren, and to be happy with them, like a play with them. There's a monkey life. And lastly, the last portion is dog's life, that we are not allowed to live with one son, then we are kicked to go to the other son, or go, no, don't, you live only 1 month with us, now you live to the other, with the other son. So one day, mother is living somewhere and father is living somewhere. So this is the way whole human society has animalistic propensities. So, what Srila Prabhupada's purpose is, and such type of people are glorifying the bigger fools. So now the next verse, 20, from here onward, in five verses almost, there is a, say, the Sonak Rishi is condemning the different organs which are not used in the service of Supreme Lord. So, we are going to the verse number 20. I think we may not be able to finish it today. We may continue one more day to finish it. Okay. Bile bata orukram maha vikraman ye na shrunvattah karna pute narasya jihivasti dadori ke vasuta न च पगायति उर्गाय गाथा. Now the different organs, like one who has not listened to the message about the Urugatha, a prowess of marvelous acts of personality of Godhead Vikrama, and has not sung or chanted loudly the worthy songs about the Lord, is to be considered to possess ear holes like a holes of a snake, and tongue like a tongue of a frog. Suta, the word is bat. Can you see the word bat in the? Bile bat urukrame vikrama ye. Bat is actually lamentation. So, oh Suta, how lamentable. The ear of a person who has not heard the glories of Lord are like a snake holes. The tongue which does not chant the glories of Lord is as offensive as frog's tongue. After the whole person has been criticized in a verse number 19, the part of his body are criticized in 5 verses. Oh, how lamentable. But the ear of a man who has not heard the glories of Lord are holes fit for snakes to live. Tongue which does not chant the glories of Lord is offensive, asati. And the meaning of asati is more like that of a frog. Or it is like an unchaste woman. Hare Krishna. Asati means unchaste woman, which destroy all one's piety. Though a person becomes successful by performing bhakti with even one of these limbs, they are criticized since they are otherwise useless. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Somebody can read now?
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Ambika.
Thank you. Devotional service to the Lord is rendered by all limbs or parts of the body. It is the transcendental dynamic force of the spirit soul. Therefore, a devotee is engaged 100% in the service of the Lord. One can engage in devotional service when the senses of the body are purified in relation with the Lord. And one can render service to the Lord with the help of all the senses. As such, the senses and the action of the senses are to be considered impure or materialistic as long as they are employed only in sense gratification. The purified senses are engaged not in sense gratification, but in the service of the Lord in total. The Lord is the supreme with all senses, and the servitor, who is part and parcel of the Lord, also has the same senses. Service to the Lord is the completely purified use of the senses, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord imparted instructions with full senses, and Arjuna received them with full senses.
Okay, this is, I think, what one line we can discuss. Service to the Lord is completely purified use of the senses as described in Bhagavad Gita. So what? How can we really find out? Till this time, what is in the purport actually is like that, that whatever we are doing because of presence of the soul. So presence of the soul, soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. So because of the soul's energy, we are doing everything, and soul is the energy of the Supreme, therefore soul should be engaged in the service of the Supreme. But for serving the Supreme, who is pretty, who is completely pure, we have to purify our senses. Now, then, the Lord is the Supreme with all senses, and the servitor, who is a part and person of Lord, is also have the same senses. It means both are persons, they have senses. Service to Lord is a completely, service to the Lord is completely purified use of the senses, as described in Bhagavad Gita. So where is this in Bhagavad Gita?
Shubha
Shubha Phale Revam Moksha Karma Bandhana. Sanyas Yog Yukta Vimokto Mam Upeshyasi, 9th chapter.
Directly.
Okay. Yeah, let us try what actually it means. Oh, Srila Prabhupada just put described in Bhagavad Gita. Where it is described, how it is described?
Utkaroshi Yadashnavi.
Yadkaroshi Yadashnasi is engaged in the service of Krishna. That is called a special type of karma jnana mixed yoga. Karma jnana mixed bhakti yoga. What about this avibhicharena bhakti yogena gunan samate taitana brahma bhuyaya kalpate? By pure devotional service, one will come to the stage of Brahma, Brahma Bhuta, Prasannatmana, Sochati, Nakangshati, Samasarveshu, Bhuteshu, Madhbhaktim, Labhate, Param. So after one comes to the stage of the Brahma realization, I mean, Brahma platform, which is the pure stage of the living entity, then only the real devotional service or Parabhakti start. What do you think about this? I'm just throwing the idea. Yes.
Parikshita Bhuji, maybe it is that kaena manasa buddhi kevala indriya rapi yogi nam karma kurvanti.
There is a verse in 5th chapter that one should work with body, with mind, with everything for the purification of senses.
Yes, for self-purification it is mentioned.
Yeah, kevala, and the word kevala, Chakravarti Pad writes, kevala means purified senses. Yeah, manasa karmana...
Kayena manasa buddhya kevale...
Kevala indriya rapi, yogina karma kurvanti, atma shuddhyay.
Sangam tokta. Yes, sangat tokta atma shuddhyay.
Sangat tokta atma shuddhyay.
Yeah, atma shuddhyay, atma shuddhyay, for one's purification. So he is working for one's purification. That is called the working at the level of Gyan, Karma Yoga at the stage of Gyan. But basically the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is Bhakti Yoga. So but from that stage we have to come really to the stage of the purified senses by Bhakti. Purification of the senses means purification from the influence of three modes of material nature. And that is only possible through the unalloyed devotional service. And then only real bhakti starts. That's what my understanding is. Is it okay? Haribol?
Yes, Swamiji, very nice.
Okay, somebody, say Ambika, continue. The Lord...
The Lord imparted instructions with full senses, and Arjuna received them with full senses. And thus there was a perfect exchange of sensible and logical understanding between the master and the disciple. Spiritual understanding is nothing like an electrical charge from the master to the disciple, as foolishly claimed by some propaganda mongers.
Anybody can say what is this section?
We need to see the endeavor to follow the instructions of our spiritual masters to be able to make progress in spiritual life.
Yeah, actually what Srila Prabhupada is saying, that Krishna is a person, Arjuna is a person, Krishna has used his sense of, you know, speaking to convince Arjuna, he has used his sense of hearing, and then he understood spiritual science. So that is a perfect method. But then there are some people, they say spiritual master touch the disciple, and disciple is energized immediately, he don't have to learn anything. That is the false propaganda of the foolish people. So Prabhupada is hinting to specific some group which he is not writing in a writing, but can anybody know this?
Yes, this is Prabhuji, example of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and Vivekananda, where it is that Ramakrishna Paramahamsa touched him and Vivekananda got enlightened.
Yeah, and then he said, I gave everything, now I have nothing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what was on, when Prabhupada was writing these lines, and so many people are also doing the same things. This is called, say, chamatkar. They are showing some miracle. But that is not a spiritual. Sometimes people ask, well, what, I think a couple days back somebody asked me, which mantra Sandipuni Mani gave to Krishna and Balaram? I asked another question from them. Which mantra Krishna gave to Arjuna? No mantra. Arjun said, please explain to me, and Krishna explained to him. So actually, a spiritual master has to train the disciple in a transcendental knowledge. It's not that just give mantra and pay some money and then you are free. So it's not like that. The Sandipuni Mani never gave any mantra. Neither Krishna gave any mantra to Arjuna. They gave the signs. Sadi Mam, Arjun says, please, Sadi Mam, please explain to me. So a spiritual master must explain to the disciple the signs. Early days Prabhupada used to months continuously sitting with the disciple every day, giving morning, evening classes. He trained them really personally. So everything is full of sense and logic and exchange of the view between the master and son. Okay, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, well, I'm reading this line you discussed. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that one should receive the teaching of Chaitanya with intellect and full sense. so that one can logically understand the great mission. Where is this? Have somebody tried to find out this or can try sometime? It's not coming on my tongue, but there is some verse which says something like vichar. Siddhanta Balia, the word is Siddhanta Balia.
Vichar, vichar, chamatkar.
Yeah, what is the verse?
Vichar koro, something like that. Judai hoi ve chamatkar, something like that.
Tabe hoi ve chamatkar. So this is the, say, receive the chaitanya with intellect and full sense. Logical, vichar means logical. There is a great mission, Siddhanta Bali. I think that is the verse most probably. Now read further.
In the impure state of a living being, the various senses are fully engaged in mundane affairs. If the ear is not engaged in the service of the Lord by hearing about Him from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, certainly the holes of the ear will be filled with some rubbish. Therefore, the messages of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam should be preached all over the world very loudly. That is the duty of a pure devotee who has actually heard about them from the perfect sources. Many want to speak something to others, but because they are not trained to speak on the subject matter of Vedic wisdom, they are all speaking nonsense, and people are receiving them with no sense. There are hundreds and thousands of sources for distributing mundane news of the world, and people of the world are also receiving it. Similarly, the people of the world should be taught to hear the transcendental topics of the Lord, and the devotee of the Lord must speak loudly so that they can hear. The frogs loudly croak, with the result that they invite the snakes to eat them. The human tongue is especially given for chanting the Vedic hymns and not for croaking like frogs. The word asati used in this verse is also significant. Asati means a woman who has become a prostitute. A prostitute has no reputation for good womanly qualities. Similarly, the tongue which is given to the human being for chanting the Vedic hymns will be considered a prostitute when engaged in chanting some mundane nonsense.
So is this analogy of frog croaking inviting the snake? So what it actually represent? Snake represent?
Death.
Death, call. And croaking of the frog represent nonsense speaking of the mundane people. Now the next verse is again elaborating some other part of the body if not used in Krishna's service. Bhara parampata krita joshtam apya uttam angam nanamena mukandam shwava o karo nakurate sapariyam harera lasata kanchana kankanova. Now the two other parts, the head and the limbs, are useless if they are not used in bowing down or in serving the Lord's devotees or Lord. The upper portion of body, which means head, though crowned with a silk turban, is only a heavy burden if not bowed down before the personality of Godhead, who can award mukti, freedom, mukanda. And the hands, though decorated with glittering bangles, are like those of a dead body, men, if not engaged in the service of the personality of Hari. The head decorated with the turban and crown, which does not bow to Krishna, is simply a heavy weight, which will sink the person in samsara, which means material world, birth and death. The hand which do not make offering to the Lord, though decorated with glittering golden bracelets, are those of a dead person. The topmost limb of the head is simply a turban decorated crown, ocean of samsara. Okay. And this line is important. The hand of those who are of a dead person, which means ghost. Devatas and Pitra do not accept water by that person because he is impure. It means they cannot do any rituals even for the demigods or the forefather, what to speak of Supreme Lord. Now somebody can start reading Srila Prabhupada's purport.
I can read, Prabhupada.
Yes, yeah. Welcome.
As stated here in four, there are three kinds of devotees of the Lord. The first class devotee does not at all see anyone who is not in the service of the Lord. But the second class devotee makes distinction between devotees and non-devotees. The second class devotees are therefore meant for preaching work, and as referred to in the above verse, they must loudly preach the glories of the Lord. The second class devotee accepts disciples from a section of third class devotees or non-devotees. Sometimes the first class devotee also comes down to the category of second class devotee for preaching work. But the common man who is expected to become at least a third class devotee is advised therein to visit the temple of the Lord and bow down before the deity, even though he may be a very rich man or even a king with a silk turban or crown. The Lord, he is the Lord of everyone, including the great kings and emperors, and men who are rich in the estimation of mundane people must therefore make it a point to visit the temple of Lord Sri Krishna and regularly bow down before the deity.
Okay. I think everybody understands what is first, second and third class. It's a very Uttam, Madhyam and Kanishtha Adhikari, right?
Right.
That is very clear. There is nothing, I think, ambiguous, right? But the third class must do this. Go to the temple and do. They are going. First and second class, they are always going. But the third class should also go. They should be encouraged to go. Because they will get benefit. So what is the benefit now of the deity worship? Yes, the Lord.
The Lord in the temple, in the worshipable form, is never to be considered to be made of stone or wood. For the Lord in his archaic incarnation as the deity in the temple shows immense favor to the fallen souls by his auspicious presence. By the hearing process, as mentioned herein before, this realization of the presence of the Lord in the temple is made possible.
Okay, this is most important. This is most important. Temple. The Lord is a person in a deity, but most important part in the temple is there should be Hari Katha going on. Srila Prabhupada said our temples are not to show people the deity and ask for some money. Our temples are to tell people the glories of Krishna and encourage them to study Bhagavad Gita, which is teaching of Bhagavad Gita. So we are educational university for the illiterate, foolish people to train them. So this is most important what Srila Prabhupada is writing, one line, it is his motto. By hearing process as mentioned here, hence, this reaction of presence of Lord in the temple is made possible.
As such, the first process in the routine work of devotional service, hearing is the essential point. Hearing by all classes of devotees from the authentic sources like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is essential. The common man who is puffed up with his material position and does not bow down before the deity of the Lord in the temple, or who defies temple worship without any knowledge of the science, must know that this his so-called turban or crown will only succeed in further drowning him in the water of the ocean of material existence.
This is also Prabhupada's pointing to somebody. People say don't have a deity worship, but they have a big turban on their head. There are people like that. I'm Prabhupada is keeping hidden, so I'm keeping hidden, but that's what actually it means. So,
it's not so hidden, Prabhu, come on.
he's like a gentleman putting the things like that. So,
Hare Krishna, boy.
Yes?
And, for this, the Upanishad, that is a relevant equivalent analogy is that a person having materialistic education is like having a jeweled cobra.
jeweled cobra is more dangerous than no cobra. This is the analogy in Sri Isha Upanishad.
Yeah.
There is called Vidya. Vidya Avidya.
Vidya Avidya. So similarly, material education with material opulence makes the person drown here.
Yeah. If they don't buy, what was coming in my mind actually is, it was in early 80s sometime, I was going to the temple, but I was not bowing down. Well, I was doctor already in medical profession, in a government job doing post-graduation. But next door to me was my professor, and he was having 5 times bowing down. I saw him and I realized, well, what big thing is if I bow down when the senior to me is doing the same thing. I actually was inspired that person and started bowing down in the temple. So what I'm saying, sometimes we have to learn from anywhere to pay obeisance in the temple. That is most important. And in Bhagavad Gita it says, in Padma Purana it is said, only once if somebody has paid obeisance to Krishna, it cannot be compared with 1,000 heart sacrifices. Sakrad Krishna pramano, pranamo, sakrad. Once only you pay obeisance to Krishna, this cannot be compared with the 1,000 Ashwamedha yagya. Because if you compare, then it is pakshand. It is a atheistic. Because one who pay obeisance to Krishna will go to the Krishna. But the one who performs yajna will come back after enjoying heaven. So you cannot compare one. Therefore, one most important 4-point program of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is Man mana bhav mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Bow down to me. Bow down. And also end of the Bhagavatam. If you remember the last verse of Bhagavatam. Yeah, there are that the last instruction of Bhagavatam is twofold.
Nam Sankirtanam yasya sarva pranashanam pranamadukshamanastam namami hariparam.
So one is do the Nam Sankirtan. Therefore, where Bhagavad Gita ends? Where Bhagavad Gita ends? Saradharman paritaja. And Bhagavat start dharma projita kaitava. Where Bhagavad Gita stop ends, Bhagavat starts. And Bhagavat start by Sarva Dharman, Bhagavat ends by Nam Sankirtan. And Chaitanya Charitamrita start by Nam Sankirtan. So that is also postgraduate after that. Bhagavad Gita is what Krishna says, Bhagavatam is what Krishna does, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is what Krishna thinks. So everything is higher, higher, and higher. So the Bhagavatam, one is Nam Sankirtan, and second is, what is the benefit of Nam Sankirtan? Dukh Samanam. No. Nam Sankirtan is a Papa Pranashanam. By chanting holy name, all the sin are eradicated. But the result of the sin is suffering. So how suffering is eradicated? Pranamo Dukh Samanam. If we pay obeisance to the Lord, all the result of the sin, which is suffering, will be mitigated. So these are the two last concluding teaching of Bhagavatam. Nam Sankirtan and Pranam are the bowing down or offering obeisances. Is it okay? Let's continue. Hari Bol. Yes.
A drowning man with a heavy weight on his head is sure to go down more swiftly than those who have no heavy weight. A foolish, puffed-up man defies the signs of God and says that God has no meaning for him. But when he is in the grip of God's law and is caught by some disease like cerebral thrombosis, and that godless man sinks into the ocean of nations by the weight of his material acquisition. Advancement of material science without God consciousness is a heavy load on the head of human society, and so one must take heed of this great warning. The common man, if he has no time to worship the Lord, may at least engage his hands for a few seconds in washing or sweeping the Lord's temple. Maharaj Prataparudra, the great powerful king of Orissa, was always very busy with heavy state responsibilities. Yet he made it a point to sweep the temple of Lord Jagannath at Puri once a year during the festival of the Lord. The idea is that however important a man one may be, he must accept the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. This God consciousness will help a man even in his material prosperity. Maharaj Prataparudra's subordination before Lord Jagannath made him a powerful king, so much so that even the great Pathan in his time could not enter into Orissa on account of the powerful Maharaj Prataparudra. And at last, Maharaj Prataparudra was graced by Lord Sri Chaitanya on the very grounds of his acceptance of subordination to the Lord of the universe. So even though a rich man's wife has glittering bangles made of gold on her hands, she must engage herself in rendering service to the Lord.
So, Maharaj, Pathan, anybody knows what is Pathan? Srila Prabhupada wrote this word, which is a traditional word, Pathan. Anybody knows?
There's a... Yeah, go on.
Yeah?
It's a Muslim rulers, right?
Mostly those who are coming from Afghans and from frontier provinces.
Yes.
They are called Pathan. The actual word is Fatah Khan. Fatah means conqueror. And Khan is a title which has become like a little change, become Pathan. So these are the Mughal rulers actually. And one of the great Pathan Krishna's devotee in Vrindavan is Ras Khan.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are going to verse number 22. Baraha ite te nayana na naranam lingani vishno nanrikshato ye padau nirnam tau droma janam bhajau khetrani na anuvarjato hareyo. So braha, this word, first word braha, anybody can quickly remember braha?
Braha pidam natvar vapu kandayo karnikaram.
Braha pidam natvar vapu. So braha means a peacock feather, which decorates actually Krishna. But here, this peacock feather has eyes in the tail. So there's a one word here, and the other word last is anuvarjate. The Prabhupada has a purport for the word anuvarjate. This may be the word, can be asked, what is the meaning of anuvarjate? So the eyes which do not look at the symbolic representation of personality of God and Vishnu. Symbolic representation, actually his form, name, quality, etc. are like those printed on the plumes of peacock, and the legs which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered are considered to be like tree trunks. Now, there are two more additions to these things by Chakravarti Pal. Men's eyes which do not see the form of Lord are like the eyes on the peacock feather. And what is next? And they fall on the thorny field of samsara. So where the tail of the peacock is falling on the thorny bushes. So their eyes, if they don't look at Krishna, will go into the cycle of birth and death. Man's feet which do not walk to the places of Lord is like bases of the tree to be cut by axe of Yamduta. So tree is called Vriksha, which means that can be cut by the axe. And the Yamaduta will cut that tree, means that life will be finished. Srila Prabhupada's purport, somebody should start reading.
should I read?
Yes.
Especially for the householder devotees, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. As far as possible, every householder, by the direction of the spiritual master, must install the deity of Vishnu, forms like Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, or Sitaram, especially, or any other form of the Lord, like Narsimha, Varha, Gauranitai, Matsya, Kurma, Shaligram, Shila, and many other forms of Vishnu, like Trivikrama, Keshava, Uchit, Achyuta, Vasudev, Narayan, and Damodar, as recommended in the Vaishnav Tantras or Puranas. And one's family should worship strictly following the directions and regulations of Archana Vidhi. Any member of the family who is above 12 years of age should be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, and all the members of the household should be engaged in the daily service of the Lord, beginning from morning 4 a.m. till night 10 p.m. by performing Mangala Artika, Niranjan, Archan, Puja, Kirtan, Shingar, Bhog, Vaikali, Sandhya Artika, Pat, Bhoga at night, Shayan Artika, etc.
Anyway, these are the technical words, eight times the worship. In the deity worship, we understand these words. I think till this time, the most important part in whole purport, the beginning of the purport is most important. By the direction of a spiritual master, one must install deity of the Lord in home. So deity worship should not be independent. It must be blessed by the spiritual master, then the worship is proper and trained. Not people have deities in their home, but they eat so many different dishes, but they put in front of the deities few sugar candy. So that is not a proper worship because they are not being trained by the spiritual master. In India, every house has some deities, but they are just put in a small closet place. So that is actually not a deity worship. And these words, anybody who is pujari in our Bhakti Vaibhav, Mangala Arati, everybody knows. Niranjan, what is Niranjan? I don't know. Anybody knows who is a pujari? Okay, we will ask from somebody. Archan means deity worship. Puja, Kirtan, Shringar is dressing deities, Bhoga, Vaikali. What is Bhoga Vaikali? Is it 4 o'clock? I don't know exactly. There is an Uthan. So there is a different word. What is Vaikali? So Nirajan and Vaikali. Sandhya Arati, we know Path Bhog at night. So what is Path Bhog? So somebody can check with the Pujari and find out the meaning of these words. Srila Prabhupada has written, it is better we should understand this.
Pata is one word,
Bhog
is another word.
Huh? Say again?
Pata is one word because there is a...
Yeah, of the Pata and Bhog, okay.
It's two words, yeah.
Yeah, Pata is meant, Shayanarth is okay. Bhog is offering Bhog at night. But anyway, what actually Prabhupada wanted to give is right from Mangal Arati till the night. All eight Aartis, there are different names. And there are different offerings. So maybe somebody on group post actually get from the deity worship. What are the different aartis? What is the name, traditional technical name for our different aartis and different bhogas? Right?
Nirajana could mean, Nir means water.
Sorry?
So maybe Nirajana could mean...
Niranjan. Niranjan. Maybe taking, bathing the duty, maybe bathing the duty. Could be Niranjan means bathing the duty. Like Abhishek, something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is very nice. You got it, Niranjan. Niranjan means cleaning the duty with water. But I'm saying it's somebody who is really a little more. I'm quite slow. You can see I'm going and teaching also too slow. But somebody who is really sharp and quick can get all these words from 4 morning till 10 evening, this deity worship, it will be nice if we know the meaning, because we are reading Prabhupada's books and we can understand what is Prabhupada wanted us to really understand by these words.
I have a message when Pujari friend, he will reply in 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay. Then you can put and share it and then send to the group. Okay. Astuti Priya, continue.
Yes, Prabhuji. Engagement in such worship of the deity under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master will greatly help the householders to purify their very existence and make rapid progress in spiritual knowledge. Simple theoretical book knowledge is not sufficient for a neophyte devotee. Book knowledge is theoretical, whereas the urchin process is practical. Spiritual knowledge must be developed by a combination of theoretical and practical knowledge. And that is the guaranteed way for attainment of spiritual perfection. The training of devotional service for a neophyte devotee completely depends on the expert spiritual master who knows how to lead his disciples to make gradual progress towards the path back home, back to Godhead. One should not become a pseudo spiritual master as a matter of business to meet one's family expenditures. One must be an expert spiritual master to deliver the disciple from the clutches of impending death. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has defined the bona fide qualities of a spiritual master, and one of the verses in that description reads, Shri Vigraha Radhana Nityanana Shingaratan Mandir Marjanato Yuktasya Bhaktasya Chan Kunjatopi Vande Guru Shri Charanarvind. Shri Vigraha is the archa or suitable worshipable form of the Lord, and the disciple should be engaged in worshipping the deity regularly by Shringar, by proper decoration and dressing, as also by Mandir Marjan, the matter of cleansing the temple. The spiritual master teaches the neophyte devotee all these kindly and personally to help him gradually in the realization of the transcendental name, quality, form, etc. of the Lord. Only attention engaged in the service of the Lord, especially in dressing and decorating the temple, accompanied by musical kirtan and spiritual instructions from scriptures, can save the common man from the hellish cinema attractions and rubbish sex songs broadcast everywhere by radios. If one is unable to maintain a temple at home, he should go to another's temple where all the above performances are regularly executed. Visiting the temple of a devotee and looking at the profusely decorated forms of the Lord, well-dressed in a well-decorated, sanctified temple, naturally infuses the mundane mind with spiritual inspiration. People should visit holy places like Vrindavan, where such temples and worship of the deity are specifically maintained. Formerly, all rich men, like kings and rich merchants, constructed such temples under the direction of expert devotees of the Lord, like the six Goswamis, and it is the duty of the common man to take advantage of these temples and festivals observed in the holy places of pilgrimage by following in the footsteps of great devotees. Anu Vraja. One should not visit all these sanctified pilgrimage places and temples with sightseeing in mind, but one must go to such temples and sanctified places immortalized by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord and be guided by proper men who know the science. This is called Anu Vraja. Anu means to follow. It is therefore best to follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master even in visiting temples and the holy places of pilgrimage. One who does not move in that way is as good as a standing tree condemned by the Lord not to move. The moving tendency of the human being is misused by visiting places for sightseeing. The best purpose of such traveling tendencies could be fulfilled by visiting the holy places established by great acharyas, and therefore not being misled by the atheistic propaganda of money-making men who have no knowledge of spiritual matters.
So what is the personal application in this purport?
Deity worship.
okay, at home deity worship for the family, and if we have to go to the temple, or we are living in the temple, or we have a connection in the temple, what are the couple things which Srila Prabhupada here writes? The temple worship of the deity is specially mentioned. Okay, this is what here it is. These four things. Dressing and decorating temple nicely, number one. And musical kirtan, number two. And spiritual instruction of scripture, number three. So those temples which have beautiful decorated deities, nice kirtan, and regular Gita Bhagavat classes, they can actually inspire common people and divert their misguided attraction for rubbish, cinemas and all these things Prabhupada has written. So any temple, if we have there, these three things must be there. Nice dressing, decoration, kirtan and discourses. This is one part. And then what is Anuvarja? Anybody understood Anuvarja?
Yes, Prabhupada.
Anuvarja has a two paragraph, completely Prabhupada has written two paragraph about Anuvarja.
To go to Vraja without the, you know, without the guidance of a spiritual master.
Okay,
to understand it through the devotees, not as sightseeing.
Okay, there's a one part of the Anuvarja, that when we go to the place of pilgrimage, which should not be a sightseeing, it should be more for immortalizing ourselves. It means becoming free from death, birth and death, immortalizing. The word Srila Prabhupada uses, immortalizing. By the transcendent pastime of the Lord and guided by the proper man who knows the signs. So that the two paragraph about Anuvarja, the before that the Anuvarja is also used by Prabhupada to construct temple, as our Goswamis has constructed by the help of the rich people and kings. Though the deity worship was in a Dwapar Yuga, it was not actually for Kali Yuga, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave deity worship as most important one limb of the powerful limb of the devotional service. Archa, Vigra, Shardhaya, with the faith worshipping the deity. So yeah. Anuvarja has two paragraph here. First paragraph is to build temple, and second paragraph is to go to those temples with the experienced devotees and relish the pastime rather than sightseeing. Usually many, you know, groups and yatras we go with the devotees, mostly the devotees have only two questions on a yatra. Where is my room and when? What time is a prasad? I call these yatras say room prasad yatra. They never say which place we will go and what katha and where, what time is a katha. So usually the yatras are more like sightseeing rather than. But now devotees are coming. They are. It's better to have these pastimes which we are discussing, like Bhagavatam, this Bhagavatam which we are discussing right now, Sukhdev Goswami spoke at Sukhtal. If we go there with the devotees and discuss Bhagavatam, then it's worth coming to the Vrindavan. Then we go to the pastime places of Krishna, that is the best. With the devotees, that is most important. Now the parts are over of the body. Now the whole body. Verse number 23. Jivan chavo bhagvatangri renum na jato martyo abhilabheta yasto Sri Vishnu padyaha manuja manujastulya swashanshavo yastuna veda gandham. Again, there are two things I think in this. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And a person who has never experienced the aroma of tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. That person who does not smear the body with the dust from the devotee's feet is a ghost whose offerings are not accepted by the Lord. That person who does not smell the fragrance of the tulsi on Vishnu's feet is similarly a ghost. Dead body and a ghost which create troubles. So Chakravarti Pad writes, after criticism of various parts of the body, there is now criticism of all of them together. The person who does not touch abhilabheta, the dust of devotee's feet, which actually means follow the devotee, who does not smear the dust on his body, like a living is like a living corpse, a departed soul, shavaha, who frightened the devotees by his presence because he is a ghost. This means that the Lord does not accept the service from his hands. The person who is not eager to smell the fragrance of tulsi attached to Lord's feet is also a breathing corpse. Okay. It starts Srila Prabhupada's purport. I think we can complete today. I thought may not be, but we can, I do. Okay, Prabhu. Yes. Who is volunteer?
I am Jade Maharaj.
Yes, why not?
Okay, thank you. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the breathing dead body is a ghost. When a man dies, he is called dead. But when he again appears in a subtle form, not visible to our present vision, and yet acts such a dead body, always creating a fearful situation for others. Similarly, the ghosts like non-devotees who have no respect for the devotees nor for the Vishnu deity in the temple create a fearful situation for the devotees at all times. The okay. Lord never okay. accepts.
What Srila Prabhupada is explaining is the definition of a ghost. Mm-hmm. Dead body. Soul is in subtle body, he has no grass body. So he cannot he cannot function. So he enter in somebody else's body. And then he created trouble for that. So those people who are like ghosts will never respect the devotee or Lord in the deity form. And they create always troubles for the devotees. Such peoples who are impure like ghosts, Lord never accept their offering. Now what Srila Prabhupada is saying that before even serving the Lord, one should get blessing of a devotee of the Lord. So read the next paragraph, Anuradha.
The Lord never accepts any offering by such impure words. There is a common saying that one should first love the dog of the beloved before one shows any loving sentiments for the beloved. The stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. The first condition of devotional service to the Lord is therefore to be a servant of a pure devotee. and this condition is fulfilled by the statement, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has also served another pure devotee. That is the way of pure disciplic succession or devotional parampara. Maharaj Raghugana inquired from the great saint Jadabharat as to how he had attained such a liberated stage of Paramhans, and in answer the great saint replied as follows: Raghugana tad tapasa soyati na che chejyash ruvapanat brihadva.
Thank you.
King Raghugana, the perfectional stage of devotional service or the Paramhans stage of man cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of devotees. It is never attained by tapasya, the Vedic worshipping process, acceptance of the renounced order of life, the discharge of the duties of household life, the chanting of the Vedic hymns, or the performance of penances in the hot sun, within cold water, or before the blazing fire. Further?
Okay. So all these things will not give us the devotion except the dust from the lotus feet of a devotee. In other words, Lord Sri Krishna is the property of his pure, unconditional devotees. And such, as such, only devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Can somebody recite the verse? Verse means a song by Narottam Das Thakur, I think.
Se tumara Krishna diti para tumara shakti ase.
Amite kangal dhaye tava pache pache.
Krishna Krishna bori dhaye tava pache pache.
So this is a, Krishna is the property of a devotee. And he can deliver to Krishna to others. Krishna is never obtainable directly. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore designated himself as Gopi Bhartahu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Anybody knows the first part of this verse?
Naam Vipro
Nasudro Nagrahapati. Yes.
It is Naham Vipro Nachanarpati Napi Veshyo Na Shudro Naham Varani Nachagrihapati Navanastho Yatirva Kintu Prodhyana Khila Paramananda Purna Amrit Abder Gopi Bhartu Pad Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Dasaha.
So that chanting is called Bhut Shuddhi. Bhut Shuddhi means purifying our material existence. I am not of any varna or ashram. I am simply the servant of Gopinath Sri Krishna Paramananda. So that is the process Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. Basically, even before we go to the deity for worship or before we chant, if we chant this mantra, and we practice this and then we realize this, that will actually give us more understanding of our constitutional position, that we are the servant of Gopi Nath. Are the most obedient servant of the servants of the Lord who maintain the gopis, the damsels of Vrindavan. A pure devotee therefore never approach the Lord directly, but tries to please the servant of the Lord's servant. And thus the Lord becomes pleased, and only then can the devotee relish the taste of tulsi leaves stuck to his lotus feet? Because the devotee will give that. We go to the temple, the pujari give that tulsi leaf from the lotus feet of Krishna. And Brahma Santa stated that Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of Vedic literature, but he is very easily approached through his pure devotee. Which is the verse? Brahma Santa. Vaideshu durlabham. Vaideshu durlabham. Adharvam atma bhakto. Yeah, this is the verse. Okay. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Radharani. The pleasure potency of Krishna. Has Srila Prabhupada prayed to Radharani? He has a wonderful one song. Hey, bhai.
Radharani ko so kab punne hove bhai.
Haan, kabhi punne hove bhai. Radha khushi hove. When Radharani will be pleased, then my life will be perfect. This is Prabhupada has a wonderful, beautiful, his own feeling for Radharani. And before that, Prabhupada's father invited all the sadhus, and after feeding them nicely, he begged them to bless his son to be the devotee of Radharani. So Prabhupada is writing, I mean, this is his own personal realization. Srimad Radharani is the tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Prabhupada never said Radha and Krishna are God. He said Radha and Krishna is God, because they are non-different. Or somebody has raised a hand. Who has raised the hand?
Yes, Prabhuji. I wanted to tell this word, Mahatvad Rajobhishekam. In Srimad Bhagavatam, this word is over 200 times mentioned.
Rajabhishekam?
Yes, Mahatvad Rajobhishekam.
Okay, this is Bhagavatam, is this repeated by?
No, I just searched on Vedabase how many times this is mentioned in Bhagavatam or other scriptures.
Well, so there. All the devotees are praying for that, and then Prabhupada has put in many purports, so it must be 200 times. Any song you remember where there is a word about the sand from the sand, I mean dust from the lotus feet of a devotee?
Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajan Anukula.
Yeah, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajan Anukula. So what I'm saying is, this is the way to read Srila Prabhupada's purport. You know, one word comes and something should spark in your brain. And you see, oh, it is here. Then you think, I'm relishing and I'm understanding. If you just go and reading, well, that is also good, but you are not relishing. I can do that I can read the purport and put few points for you and tell them this is in the purport. But now, what when we are reading together, we are relishing the purport. Is it right or wrong?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Now, thank you very much, Prabhuji. Very much nectar. Great nectar.
Now, this is the way really. What is our other business? We have to really understand. And this is Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj used to say that the Prabhupada's purport are like an ocean. If you dive into it, you will get the pearls. So there's everything in Prabhupada's purport. So he says, speaking, Radharani is a perfectional stage of worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotee. And once she recommends such a devotee to Krishna, the Lord at once accepts devotee's admittance into his association. The conclusion is therefore that one should be more serious about seeking mercy of devotee than that of the Lord directly. Any example is coming in your mind? A Raghunath Das Thakur was going directly to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without going to Nityananda. Can you relate this line with that? Hare Krishna.
One sloka comes, Bhaktapada Duliya Bhaktapada Jala Bhaktabhukta Chishtin Mahaval.
Yeah, that is from Chaitanya Chaitanya. But what I am, but it is just sparking in my mind is like that. Therefore, that one should more seriously about seeking mercy of devotee than that of Lord directly. Raghunath Das was going directly to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda said, why, O thief, why you are taking that mercy without going through me? So that's, they said the example. That was their pastime to teach us that we have to approach the Supreme Lord through a bona fide spiritual master. And Nityananda is a personified Adi Guru. So nobody can approach the Supreme Lord without the bona fide spiritual master and his disciplic succession. And by once doing so, by the goodwill of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of Lord will be revived. This also has a very deep purpose, these two lines. And by doing so, by seeking the mercy of a devotee, by doing so, by the goodwill of the devotee, this is most important line. The natural attraction, which means bhav bhakti, of the service of the Lord will be revived. So for bhav bhakti to awaken within the heart of a devotee, only devotee, if he, by his goodwill, transfer the Haladini and Samvita energy, Shakti, to a...
Janvi,
Hare Krishna, Shastuti Priya, your mic is open. Janvi is not listening. I am listening.
I'm so sorry, Prabhuji. Actually, youth class is there and our neighbors are creating a lot of problems.
Hare Krishna.
So sorry.
Anyway, by hearing the word Jahanvi, everybody is purified because Jahanvi is Ganga and that will purify everybody. Okay, welcome. So can you see in this line these things?
Prabhu, isn't that the prayer Prabhupada writes in the beginning of Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Gunata Pade Hoi Beakuti?
Yeah, that's the same mood, that by their mercy we can actually get Yugal Priti. So yeah. that is the mood throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Rupa Raghumar Nath Pade Hai Bhi Akuti Ta Bujega. Yeah, this is Narottam Das Thakur's song.
Yes.
So what I am saying actually is, in the Nectar of Devotion it says, for Bhav Bhakti to awaken, 99% it is the mercy of a goodwill of a pure devotee. When we really serve and follow him and he is pleased, then he can bestow his mercy, and that mercy will be the internal potency of the Supreme Lord, Samvit Shakti and Haladini Shakti, that will make us to know Krishna and to relish Krishna. That will be the natural attraction for the service of the Lord, and that will be revived. So, I remember one example when teaching Nectar of Devotion, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj used to give. You make do your sadhana bhakti is like making a dough, rolling a samosa, putting all the ingredient inside. Now your samosa is ready, but you need the oil or clarified butter to fry this. If you don't have butter, then your samosa will never be ready. So you have to beg butter from, you beg this ghee from somebody. Then only your samosa will be ready. So that ghee is, if somebody has a ghee and if he is willing to give, then only your samosa will be ready. So the pure devotee, when he blesses by his mercy, then only bhav bhakti will awaken. So we are really, these lines of Prabhupada, you know, when Srila Prabhupada is writing these lines, these are the Nectar of Devotions, all verses are in his mind. And then when he's lying, it has a deep meaning actually. Now I'm going to the verse number 24 because 25 has no purport. I think we can complete today. But then the question answer, if you like, we can have one more day. Get together, what is called Bhagavatam. Get together and discuss question answer and try to learn from one another. Tadasham saram hridyam batedam yadagrihyamanai harinam deyahi navikariyeta athayada vikaro netra jalam gatre roheshu harashah. Well, actually this verse had a very lengthy purport and we have also some slide in a next presentation, because the first part, well, this is actually bhav bhakti, because why Srila Prabhupada has written these few lines in the last part of the purport of 3, because verse number 24 has a bhav bhakti, description of bhav bhakti. And along with the description of bhav bhakti, there is a description of the rati abhasa, or the semblance of the bhav or ecstasy. So this verse is actually describing semblance of the bhav. This is the translation. Certainly that heart is steel framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration does not change even when signs of transformation take place, such as tears in the eyes and ecstatic standing of the hairs on the end. Gatra ruheshu harashah. Their heart which does not transform. Now this is the verse actually based on that the title for the chapter is selected by Srila Prabhupada. What is the title of the chapter?
Pure devotional.
Change in the
change
heart.
Change of heart.
Yeah, this is the verse. Based on that, the title is chosen by Srila Prabhupada. That heart which does not transform on hearing the names of the Lord, even though he shows tears in the eyes and hair standing on end, is made of iron. Now Chakravarti Pad says the external limbs individually and collectively have been criticized. Individually as the eyes, ears, tongue, and collectively as the whole body, turban, hands, and the whole body. Now the internal nature of the person, indifferent to Lord's glories, is criticized. Internal nature means the heart. That heart which does not transform by many names of the Lord, being chanted, grahiyamanahi, is an iron, asham saram. The transformation is described. The body hair should stand up. The sandarbha, which means Srila Jiva Goswami's compilation, says that if one continues to chant, but the heart does not melt, that is sign of nam aparad. Okay, this is for personal application. If we are chanting, and if heart is not melting, anybody remember the definition of bhav bhakti? There are primary characteristics and there are secondary characteristics.
There are 9 symptoms of bhav bhakti.
Well, that will come afterwards. But the definition says, hirdaya marshana, chitta marshana, means the heart becomes soft, and ruchi bhihi. And before that, there are secondary characteristics. So, melting of the heart start at the stage of bhav, and it is completely soft by the stage of prema. So this word melt of the heart means actually arising of the bhav bhakti. And if it's not arising, and the reason given by Jiva Goswami is Naam Aparadha. However, it should not be said that simply by tears and hair standing on and that a person has a melted heart. No. And then Srila Rupa Goswami says, Nisarga pichila swante tadabhyasa pare pisa sattva bhasam vina pisyukva pi ashro pulakadya. When a person has a hard heart and practice exhibiting sattvic bhava, which means tear, without even a touch of emotion, the appearance of the tears or other symptoms are called niha sattva. They are not pure goodness. I think those of you who are attending Nectar of Devotion, southern side of the ocean, there is a word there, sattvic bhava. Vibhav, anubhav, sattvic bhav, vibhichari bhav. The sattvic bhav. Na sato means they are not actually sattvic bhav, but they are imitation. Niha sattvic. They are not sattvic. Sattvic bhav are involuntary, right? They are not imitation. They are involuntary. I think how many of our students are taking that seminar, attending? I think couple are there. Today we met all the most of, three times we met couple devotees. It is very good. I think it's good, but I think the subject matter needs to be read thoroughly. It takes a lot of time, 3-4 chapters and very elaborate thing there. I don't know how much we understand right now. And in a devotee with a very deep experience of prem, external tears and hair standing on end may not be seen, so both ways. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met Ramananda, all symptoms appeared, but he stopped. Even though they have melted heart, they may not show this. Therefore, this verse should be explained as follows. That heart which does not transform with chanting, but still has tears in the eyes and hair standing on end, should be considered an iron heart. The external symptom of the transformation of the heart should be the list of the items starting with the Kshanti. These are the 9 items of the Bhav Bhakti which nobody can imitate. The involuntary actions some actor can imitate or some great Vaishnava may not show. But this nobody can imitate. Kshanti avaryat kalatvam vraktir nama sunya shunyata asha bandha samutkantha nama gane sadaruchi asaktis tada guna anukhyane priti tadavasti sastale iti adayo anubhava sayo jata bhav ankurte jane. And these are called anubhav. Now see this, what we are discussing in a Nectar of Devotion chapter number, say 20 onward, anubhav. So vibhav is a stimulant and anubhav is? Yes?
Action.
What is that? Action?
Yes.
Only action or something else?
Devotional service.
Voluntary action. Anubhav is voluntary action and sattvic bhav is involuntary action and vibhichari or sanchari bhav is emotions. So all these are anubhav actually. When we see something in Krishna, then we can have these qualities manifest voluntarily, anubhav. These are anubhavas of our character of the person who has developed the bud of bhava. as follows: tolerance, not wasting time, detachment. You know all this, okay? Today we'll read only Vaishvanatha Chakravarti. Tomorrow, Krishna so desire, we can continue Srila Prabhupada's purport and conclude. Tears and hair standing on end are the ordinary symptom of heart melting. When the Uttam Adhikaris, who are Nirmatsar, what is the meaning of Nirmatsar?
Non-envious or completely pure.
Completely pure, non-envious or completely pure. Chant, they will experience the sweetness of the name. In that state, there will be the symptoms such as tolerance and tears. When the majority of Kanishta Adhikaris with Matsar means with
envy.
With envy or without purity.
Matsar,
without purity. Chant, they will not experience the sweetness of the name and the transformation of heart will not take place. The symptoms starting with tolerance do not appear, even though they may show tears or hairs standing on end. And who are they? Usually sages. They should be criticized as having iron hearts. However, by association with devotees, when they pass through the stages of unearth nivarti, nishta, ruchi and asakti, with time the heart will melt and the iron heart will dissolve. Those whose hearts melt but remain iron-like are hard to cure. This is explained in relation to Sabija Yoga Dhyana in the third canto. Evam harau bhagavati pratilabhya bhavo bhaktyaha dravidya hridaya utapolkaha pramodat anutakanthyabhashapakalaya moho ardaivanae yachapichitta badisham sankaivi vyunkate. This is badisham, is most important word. Is a hook which catch the fish. Their mind take away from there. So the unfortunate yogi who has developed love for the Lord, full of all sweet qualities, whose heart is somewhat soft because of devotion, whose body hairs stand on the end in ecstasy, who is constantly overcome with intense tears of joy, gradually withdraw his hook-like mind from Lord's form. Unfortunate. Dravid Hridaya means the heart which has melted. However, Barisha, fish hook, means it is still iron, since the fish hook is made of iron. The bhav that he attains and the melting of heart are abhas, are semblance only, since he gradually withdraw the mind from the Lord. Why give up the Lord who is the real goal of life? By the bhakti in this meditation, he cannot be called a devotee, but a yogi, since he gives pain to the limbs of the Lord, an object of his meditation. By his fish hook heart, which is hard and bent. The idea present here are supported later in the text. Savagayaya tasyaha gunan granite karau chatat karm karau manascha sumreda vasantamister jangamesho stavar jangamesho shroni yata punya katha sakarnaha. Actual speech is that which describes the qualities of the Lord. Real hands are those that work for Him, and the true mind is that which always remember Him, dwelling within everyone, moving and non-moving. And actual ears are those that listen to satisfying topics about Him. These statements by negative expression confirm the necessity of practicing bhakti, which is the conclusion of the scriptures. So we end it here. Tomorrow we'll see the little presentation about the Rati Abhas, or semblance of the Rati, and more about the purport on verse number 24 by Srila Prabhupada, which Srila Prabhupada has actually given summary of the chapter 1 and 2, which we read on the first day. So we end it here. You have any question or comments? Hare Krishna Prabhu. Welcome.
Prabhuji, today's session was very amazing, and the way you explain the purports each line, so to remember some shloka or something from each line, so it was very amazing today. I enjoyed very much.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. There must be all button on in your brain. When you read, something should spark. And this will only spark if you have already read or heard. Then you can relish it.
Also, you're really teaching us how to read Srila Prabhupada's purport, which is not a given. It's not taken for granted. These purports are like, phew. Now we're really learning to appreciate Srila Prabhupada's every word, every phrase, and every paraphrase, and every sentence is like incredible. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. When Prabhupada is writing, what is in his brain, what is in his heart, that actually we can see, that is his mood, and then we can really imbibe that and relish that, that will be better.
And sometimes, you know, just a few words, just like that, it clicks a whole tattva, it clicks a whole truth, and you can sort of understand a lot, several things that left unattended for, and then suddenly you just start to see it.
Thank you, Prabhu. Siddhanta balya chitna kare alas ihate karei lage shabda manas shuddha manas. I think somebody can find out actually. Intelligently, or what is called speculating, but there are many more things we have to learn. Anybody else has to any question or comment? Yes. Yes, Purna Pragya.
This in the last commentary, in the last two sentences, the fish hook in the heart, it was mentioned. They are giving pains to the Lord. Those who heart is not centered, they are giving pain to the limbs of the Lord, because they are fish hooked. That one word is there. So could you please explain it?
Well, this is the third canto of Bhagavatam. The yogis, they have, this is actually what is, I think tomorrow we will discuss this verses also in our presentation in the next below presentation. What actually is that, there are two type of rati abhas, or semblance of the rati, a chaya rati and a pratibham rati, a reflection and a shadow. So those who have actually desire for liberation, they practice bhakti because they come in contact with bhakti, but their aim is either liberation, or either bhakti or mukti, either enjoyment or liberation. So even they get in devotee association these symptoms, but their mind is still on liberation, focus on liberation. The hook is on liberation, not on the devotional service. So they are unfortunate. They are actually Rati Abhas. Which Rati Abhas? They are called not Chaya Rati, but the Pratibham Rati, or the reflection. So this is actually topic of Nectar of Devotion, but tomorrow we will revise it once more.
Thank you, Prabhu. So by reading this commentary, so if I translate to the practical, if I translate to my personal level of application, so I'm in the Anantan University state. So how to understand, how to get the upliftment from this?
Upliftment from
these stages of devotional service, because I cannot access all those things.
See, basically this Rati Abhas is not among devotees. We devotees are not actually victim of these symptoms. These are the people who are not devotees, but they come with to the devotees, associated with devotees. They show in our temple in the evening, Aarti in Vrindavan, some some people come, they dance, they cry, they do all this, but outside they go and then start drinking tea. This is a type of people. They show the symptom, but their at heart is not changed. That is for those people who are karmis or yogis, or those who are jnanis. It's not for devotees actually. This section is simply to understand that we should differentiate. Like Snake Charmer and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, Haridas Thakur saw Snake Charmer and he was rolling down because he actually saw the Krishna, but other person when tried that, people were beating him. So people imitate sometimes these things. But it's not for devotees, but devotee must distinguish between the real love of God and the sahajya or the imitation love of God.
But by chanting, if one doesn't, heart doesn't change, it is considered as a still frame.
Well, this is for those who are on the path of jnana and their goal is liberation. For devotees, the heart will melt maybe in due course of time by the mercy of a great devotees and their Mahat Raja Abhishekam. We have no fear, our heart is not steel like butter. It is a little hard, a butter put in a freezer. So when it has come out, then it will only melt.
Thank you.
In 89, I was in America. They used to keep the 20 kilo butter outside because it is all outside was snowfall. So the big butter was just lying outside as a salt bag. So that butter which is not melting, is our heart is like a butter, but it's right now in a deep freezer. So it needs a little heat of the tapasya by association of service to the devotee, then it will start melting. It is not steel. It is not steel.
You did a good step down, Prabhu. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Dari Gaur Premanande.